come this morning with arms open wide to hear from you, to receive from you, Lord, as we give to you. Lord, I pray those words we just sung are not words we just sing off of our lips because we know them, but they are truth. That my whole life is yours. I give it all to you, surrendered completely to you. Lord, there's not a better place to be. It's not a safer place to be, a nor joy-filled place to be. Then we just simply say, Lord, here's my life. I give it to you, I lay it down. Lord, I pray as we do that very thing this morning, as we dive into a new series this morning. I pray for Chris as he brings your words this morning, as we're challenged. God, may we hear these words. May we, Father, listen to the truths you'd have for us. Wake up to truths we need to know. Father, that we would, as we listen, Lord, hear the steps that we might need to take in our lives in response to what we've heard, where we've worshiped, where we've sung, as we've prayed together, as we give together. Lord, and then we look up to you. Lord, I can do none of these things. I can do none of these things without you. So God, I pray and fill Chris with the power of the Holy Spirit. Put his heart and his mind at ease. Let him just clearly communicate the words that you have laid on his heart this week. We would hear them and respond to the truth that is found there. Oh, Lord, we love you. Thank you for the privilege of being your child. Lord, we need you in these moments. Would you come empowered in truth, we pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated.
Amen. Thank you, Brad. It's always awesome. It's always a privilege to stand and preach. And Brad guards his pulpit well, just for the fact that he trusts me enough to come this morning means a lot and says a lot. And so if you get a chance, it is Pastor Appreciation Month, so thank our pastor, appreciate him a lot for putting up with us, right? So if you have your Bibles, we're in Colossians chapter 3 this morning. We are starting a new series, and Brad was going to start this one last week, but then he preached too long one Sunday, of course, that's, you know, a rarity, and so when he didn't finish his outline, everything got pushed back, and so we're starting this series based off the map for our mission, our strategy for our mission here at Petal First Baptist. So I know all of you remember what our mission is, right? Engaging. All right, so some of you, a lot of you, all right, engaging people with the hope of the gospel to see lives transformed. And how we engage people with the gospel, specifically here inside the church walls, is through connecting, growing, committing, and going. All right, connect, grow, commit, go. Now, I'm preaching this morning on grow. All right, so we're taking them all out of order. This week is grow, next week is go, the next week is commit, and then the last one is connect. So just remember, CG squared, connect, grow, commit, go, right? Y'all remember those, right? Right? Good. So with this morning, I want to talk to you about growing in your walk, growing in your faith. And Paul lays out beautifully exactly what is going to happen or should happen here in our lives as Christians. And so if you have God's word, open Colossians chapter 3. I'd invite you to stand as we read. Colossians chapter 3. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off it, the old self with its practices, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. And above all of these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Dear God, we come to you giving thanks, God, for who you are and how much you love us. God, so much so that you sent your son to die on the cross for us so that we could have this new life that Paul is talking about. And so, God, I pray that if there's anyone in this room that has never made that decision, God, today would be that day. God, that they would realize that they need you. They need a Savior. So, God, I pray that you would be with me. Give me your words. God, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. As you're being seated, you can go back to verse 1. And we're just going to walk through this passage together. So keep your Bibles open and keep them available. We do have the words on the screen, so if Michael can keep up with, or Stephen can keep up with me, then we'll keep up together. All right. So if then you have been raised with Christ, Paul is finishing up a theological argument based right here. And he is finishing up basically what he started in chapter 1 and he's gone into chapter 2. If you take a look, chapter 1, verse 15, he begins the most awesome, beautiful, Christological like passage. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for by him all things were created in heaven and earth. Like, he just goes on and on about how awesome Christ is and how everything was created through him and for him and by him, right? And then he gets into chapter 2 and says, hey, in verse 13, he says, and you were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, but God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. And so, like, he has laid out this argument that if we are in Christ, all right, if we are in Christ, we are a new creation. And so he begins right here, if then, it's probably better translated because or since. Since you have been raised with Christ. Have you been raised with Christ? This first most important question of your entire life. Has there been a time where you place your faith and trust in him and you have accepted him as your Lord and Savior? Because if you have, you have been raised with Christ. Seek the things that are above. This word seek right here is a word that can mean delight. Delight in him. And our delight comes from our heart. And so in him, he's saying, hey, look, set your heart, seek the things, delight in those things, desire the things that are from above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. And then he goes in verse 2, set your minds, all right? So not only your heart, but your minds as well. It's a picture of all of us. Now, if you're like me, you're a little guilty of not doing that all the time. We get distracted. Our hearts get pulled this direction. Our minds get pulled this direction. And we're divided where we know what we're supposed to do because God's word says it. But we're distracted by the things. And then he says, look, set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. How many of us get distracted by earthly things, right? You know, I want the latest gadget. I'm a geek. I'm a nerd. That's who I am. I love the latest whatever, all right? I finally got a truck for the longest time. I've been praying for a truck since I was 13. I finally got one. And so I've got it. Now I'm like, what can I do to my truck to make it, you know, mine? Because now it just, you know, it looks like everybody else's truck's on the road. Let me, you know, so what does that mean? Like bigger tires or, you know, whatever it is for you, right? How many of us are constantly thinking of earthly things? Or do we have eternity in our minds all the time? Are we thinking about the things that are above? Are we walking in Christ so much so that we're like, okay, God, when I wake up this morning, do you pray? hey, God, when I go to McDonald's here in a minute and get my caramel frappuccino latte, whatever that nonsense is, I don't do coffee. I don't like it. I might grow up one day and drink it, but I don't know if that'll happen. But we get so focused on getting the Dr. Pepper. That's my love language right there, Dr. Pepper. We get so distracted by going, you know, and getting that Dr. Pepper that we forget there's other people around us. I am really guilty because I'm an introvert. So if I've ever done this to you, I'm so sorry. It's not like I don't like you or anything. But I will be so focused in what I'm supposed to be doing that I can just blow by you. You could be my best friend. It won't even matter. Like, I won't even acknowledge your presence. And that's not, you know, that's not right or that's not fair for you. But that's just how I am. Like, I got in trouble at my very first church for walking down the hall. That's all I did. All I did was walk down the hall, right? My pastor called me into his office. Hey, Chris, when you walk down a hall, I didn't know there was a right way to walk down a hall. Like, keep your head up. Smile at people when they walk by you. I didn't have the beard back then as thick of one, so like when I frowned or when I just my regular face like offended people apparently. And so like I had to adjust the way that I walked down a hall. I didn't know these things. And so like we can get so distracted on earthly things. We can get so distracted on the stuff that we want or we desire that we forget about what God has told us to do, the mission that he's given us, which is to keep our minds, keep our hearts focused on the things that are above, namely Christ and the mission that he's given us. If you are a part of the church, if you're a Christian in the building, you have a job to do, right? And he goes on, for you have died. Now, you haven't died because you're sitting here breathing, right? But here's the thing. We've died to the old self. We have died to earthly things. We are no longer should be preoccupied with those things. We need to be right here, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Because your life is hidden, it won't make sense to your neighbors. It won't make sense to your friends. When you set your mind on the things above, when you set your heart, your desires on those things, because your life is hidden with Christ, people will be like, why in the world would you spend a week and go on a mission trip? Why in the world would you give up your vacation to go put up with a bunch of like middle school, high school kids at Infuge? Like, why in the world would you do those things? Because your life won't make sense. I get asked all the time, how do I put up with these guys? I love them. I get to. It's fun. But people think I'm crazy. And I love it. I absolutely love it. What are you doing, and how are you living, and how are you walking that it doesn't make sense to people? Because you've died, your life is hidden with Christ, and so it's wrapped up in his mission, it's wrapped up in his goals, it's wrapped up in his purpose. And so it won't make sense. And then you get into verse 4, when Christ, who is your life, appears, because guess what, people? Jesus is coming back. He is. He is coming back. And so it will make sense when Christ comes back. When Christ, who is your life, appears, everything will make sense. Everybody that ever questioned you, doubted you, persecuted, made fun of you, it's all going to come together when he appears. Then you also will appear with him in glory. Whew, that's a good day. Man, when Jesus comes back and we get to appear with him in glory, we get to experience relationship unhindered by sin in our lives with God of the universe. Whew, that's going to be a good day. Amen. Yes, okay, just checking. Okay, so when Christ, who is your life, appears, you will also appear with him in glory. All right, so in that is the framework of everything else that is coming, all right? Put to death, therefore. When you see the word therefore, you got to ask what it's there for. Well, we just went through all of that, all right? You've died. You've been raised with Christ. He's coming back. You got to get ready. Got to get focused. Got to be prepared. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. Sexual morality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Now, I could spend hours digesting and talking through all five of those, all right? Not going to do that, all right? I do have a fall retreat to get to later this afternoon. And so we have to put to death some things that are in our lives. And I don't know what you're struggling with. I know what I'm struggling with. And there's some things that I've got to put to death. There's some things that we all need to put to death. Stop it. Cut it out. Get rid of it. Carve it out of our lives. Because if we're not putting to death, actively doing that, then we're not seeking. We're not setting our hearts. We're not setting our minds on the things that are above. We're not. On account of these, he gives us two reasons. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. All right? You got to put them to death because first, the wrath of God is coming. All right? I wrote it down somewhere. I think it's Hebrews 10:31. Yes, Hebrews 10:31. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. I don't know about you, but that is not a place that I want to be. It's not a place that I want to be. I was somewhere, I don't remember. I think it was a bathroom. I really don't remember, but it was a plaque on the wall that said, "May God ever keep you in the palm of his hand." Like it was like one of those Irish blessing kind of things, right? May God ever keep you in the palm of his hand. I'm like, yes. And then right underneath it, may he never make a fist. Like that is the worst place to ever be. Like I don't want to be in the hands of an angry God, right? We've been raised with Christ, and so we need to set our minds. We need to put to death those things that are earthly inside of us, right? And then the second, and these you too once walked when you were living in them. That's how you used to live, right? Before you met Christ, before you had a relationship with him, before that, you used to walk in those ways. You used to live like that. But now, as a new creation of God, you need to put it to death. And then he goes on, and verse 8, but now you must put them all away, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth, all right? All of these things, get rid of them, cut them out, take them off, put them away, all right? Verse 9, do not lie to one another, all right? So he's just listing out these things, all right? Now, if you're like me, I'm like, that one's mine. That one's mine. Anger. I was coaching a soccer game last night, or yesterday morning, U12, right? Yeah. So we are playing against the commissioner's team, right? But we were mumbling and probably wasn't, we didn't have the best attitude on our side of the field because we were losing. I know you don't do that. Like you're always positive and you're always good, but we were probably mumbling. And in that, like, I'm a redhead. And there is this fire that burns inside, like it's like I want to Hulk out on people sometimes, right? And so when this guy said something, I'm not going to repeat it. It wasn't all that bad, but when he said it, that anger, you know, just started welling up in me, like burning, like I've got, I want to knock his, anyway, I just want, like, and so we have to be careful. We have to put them away. We have to put them to death, right? And so I don't know if anger is yours or if, you know, slander, gossip. I don't know if you struggle with that one. I don't know where you are in this. But there's some things, there's some sins, there's some issues, there's some problems that in our lives we have to work through. We have to get rid of. We have to put them away. We have to walk away from those, right? Because why? Because why? I don't know. Maybe you have a problem with lying. I missed that one, verse 9. All right? Seeing that, middle of 9, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices. See, you put off the old self when you accepted Christ. 1 Thessalonians says, hey, he made us to be a new creation. When he steps into our lives and deposits the Holy Spirit into us, we become that new creation. We become a new person. And so we no longer walk in those ways. We walk with Him. We walk in Him. We live for Him. It's not about us anymore, for we have died. We have been raised with Christ. And so we have to put off the old self with its practices. Now here, you have already put off the old self, okay? So little theology, little, I hope it's not confusing. Okay, so when you accept Christ into your life as Lord, He saves you. He justifies you. He declares you righteous, okay? So in that moment, you are perfect when God is looking at you, okay? Now, how many of you in the room have ever been perfect? A day in your life, a second in your life, right? No. Thanks, Whitney. We have not been perfect ever, right? But our position, when God looks at us, He declares us righteous because Christ's righteousness is on us. It's the great exchange where He took our sin and He gave us His righteousness. And so we are declared righteous. Now our where we are, we ain't. If I can use a southern, we're not. We ain't anywhere close to being perfect. Right? Like we all. And so our status is righteousness, but our state is not. All right? So we have put off the old self. All right? These words, putting off and putting on, it's actually it's the same words that they would use to put on and take off garments. All right? So you have put off, you've taken off all the clothes of your old self, and you have dressed in the righteousness of Christ and the new self. Right? And so in that, you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge after the image of its creator. All right? You have put off. That's something that you did the moment you became a Christian. When you've put off the old self. But too many of us, we hang on to some of those practices. We hang on to some of those things. Well, if I tell my mama this lie, I won't get in trouble nearly as bad. Right? If I hide that from them, they'll never know, so it'll be all right. We are all guilty of that, right? Some of you may not be around your parents all that much anymore. Maybe it's an employer, right, at your job. Well, if I hide, I used to have friends of mine when I worked at Walmart that would work harder at looking like they were working. They were working harder at looking like they were working. If they would just actually do the work, it would have been a whole lot easier, right? Back in high school when I worked at Winn-Dixie, man, there's some awesome hide-and-go-seek that goes on at Winn-Dixie. You start looking for somebody to help you stock something, you ain't gonna find them. Like, it is crazy how we do that. So, putting off the old self with its practices. We hang on to those practices. And this is what he's talking about. Not that we will never sin again, because that's definitely not the case, right? But we have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self. So how are you doing? How are you walking in the new self? All right? What is the goal of walking in the new self? Putting on that new self. It says it right there. Being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Now, Paul in Colossians is talking a lot about knowledge because there was this sect, this cult, this thing that was going on during that time that they were saying that there's some secret knowledge of Christ that you have to obtain before you can become a Christian. And they were this lofty idea of your thoughts can get you to heaven kind of deal, and it was just wrong. And so over and over and over in Colossians, you can see it from chapter 1 until and even to this verse that talks about this knowledge. And so he's saying, hey, look, being renewed in knowledge. Paul said, hey, yeah, there is a knowledge, true wisdom that will get you salvation. And that's placing your faith and trust in Him, confessing your sins and believing in Him, right? He says, and look, in knowledge after image of its creator. Now that takes you all the way back to Genesis. When God, in Genesis 1:26, when man and woman was made in the image of God. You see, but the problem is that sin came in and distorted that image, distorted that view of God in us. And so when we become a Christian, we put on that new self, we have to do everything we can to walk in Him so that we can restore that broken image, that marred image of God in our lives. And then he goes on. Here there is not Greek or Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, right? There's just, you can take those as categories, national pride, right? Greek or Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, religious heritage, right? Culture, barbarian, Scythian, these were some of the worst cultures that they could come up with. Slave, free, economic, doesn't matter how much money you make, right? But he finishes out verse 11 right there. Christ is all and in all. Christ, there is no divisions in the church. There's no divisions in the body of Christ worldwide. We are joining with the church that is meeting on Sunday mornings across the world. And we are a part of it no matter what we look like, what political affiliation, whatever, like no matter what. There's no divisions because Christ is everything. Is Christ your all in all? So, what do you do? What do you do? And he answers that right there. How do you put on the new self? He says, verse 12, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. That one got me. I was reading through the commentary, and he says bearing with one another. That word can mean enduring. How many of you have ever endured somebody before, right? Yeah, we all have, right? But here's the thing. You keep going, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. Like, we have to forgive those people because Christ, we sinned against the holy God, and he forgave us, and so we have to forgive those that have aggravated us, that have gotten onto us, that have hurt us, that have wounded us. We have to forgive because Christ forgave. And above all of these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. That's why Jesus summed it up. Matthew 22, the greatest commandment, right? Love God with everything that you are. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you do those, you won't have a problem with compassionate hearts, caring for people, kindness, meekness, humility, and patience. Those things just happen. Forgiving each other, right? Here's the thing. He goes into verse 12 right here, putting on all of these things. But did you notice that it takes other people for those to happen? Like, you can't be compassionate without somebody else to be compassionate for. You can't be kind to someone else if there's no one else to be there. Like, I have thought long and hard about buying a compound in a mountaintop somewhere and taking me and my family and a couple of close friends and just hiding until the end. Like, I would buy enough guns, buy enough ammo, buy enough food, buy enough, stock up, right? Maybe a doomsday prepper kind of deal, I don't know. But what I have thought long and hard about, going to Alaska, there's no trespassing laws, and so you can just go out into the middle of the woods, set up, and I you won't find me no more. Because, sometimes I don't like to bear with one another. Sometimes I don't like to, be kind and gentle and meek and patient. People wear patience out. You've been there, right? But here's the thing. If we are called in the body of Christ, verse 15, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, into which you indeed were called in one body. We are a body. We can't do this by ourselves, all right? And so that is the point of all of this. It takes other people to help us. So, question. How many of you in the church feel like you're connected? You don't have to answer that. You don't have to raise your hand or whatever else. Do you feel connected to Petal First Baptist? Okay? Just think on it. Okay? Now, if you miss a Sunday, do you get a phone call from somebody that missed you? Do you get a text message? If you disappeared for 3 weeks in a row, would anybody send a search party? Here's the thing. We need the body of Christ. We need each other. We can't grow in our walk with Christ without each other, because we have no way of exercising these things that Christ has told us to do. Be compassionate, be kind, be humble, be meek, be patient, bear with one another, forgive each other. There are so many one another's in this Bible, much less this just one passage that we pulled out today, that talks about the one another's, and so it takes all of us. Now, if I were to call out one of you and ask you to read a scripture this morning or to give your testimony or whatever, like how many of you, your first reaction was like, oh, please don't call me. Please don't remember my name. Please don't acknowledge, right? All right? That is church, all right? Y'all counted how many we got in here yet? 252. So there's 252 people in here. And so if I ask Dr. Dillon, I'm going to just pick on you. If I ask Dr. Dillon to say something, all right, he's decently loud, but there's some of you in the room that wouldn't hear him. All right? If I ask Miss Denise, all right, Miss Denise can get loud. She's a school teacher, right? She deals with our children all the time, right? But there's some of you that wouldn't hear. There's too many of us in here to, like, Brad will come into my office on Monday. Hey, did you see so-and-so at church yesterday? No, were they here? Like, there's too many of us to just come together in course of worship like this. And so what we do is life groups. Life groups serve a purpose in our church. And if you've never been plugged in, if you've never been a part, then you need to check it out. And life groups, people know who you are. They do. They're supposed to. They're supposed to get to know you, right? Life group is a place where you can ask questions. Like this morning, if you stood up and asked me a question right here in the middle of the service, I might freak out just a little bit, right? On any given Sunday, if you're like, oh, wait, nope, I got a question. It would throw the whole thing off. It would like, wait a minute, can I do that? Can I answer a question in the middle of church, in the middle of a sermon? Can I do that? Like it would throw off. But in life group, it's a smaller group, and so as you're discussing, because they're discussion based, all right, we want your input, we want you to talk, and that's why I do small groups on Wednesday nights for our students. As a part of that, they get the opportunity to push back a little bit, to challenge what I've said from the stage, to challenge what their small group leaders are. Wait a minute, I'm confused by that. I don't necessarily know that I believe that. And so in those things, all right? And so life group gives us the benefits of studying together, discipleship together, praying together, right? Accountability. How many of us, every Sunday morning, we come to church, we sit, we listen, we're like, man, that was a good word. I want to do something with that. And by, 2 o'clock after lunch, you start, you know, getting that sleepy, nappy feeling kind of deal. You're like, wait, we had church this morning, didn't we? I forgot what was the sermon about. What was the preaching? What was life group, right? In smaller groups, we have that accountability to say, okay, this is what you said last week. How'd you do on that? Did you read your Bibles every day this week? All right. Did you witness to that person that you prayed about last week? It gives us those opportunities to keep each other accountable. Hospitality is a big one, right? A lot of people get sick or go to the hospitals or do whatever, and we, through life groups, a lot of times do meal trains, right? We pray together for those people, those kind of things, all right? Commitment. That's that thing a while ago that I was talking about. If you miss, you're more likely to get noticed in that small group than you are here on Sunday mornings, right? And so your commitment level grows because you've got people that have asked you, hey, where were you? How many of you, just show of hands, how many of you have gotten a phone call from somebody at church when you missed? Right? It makes us feel good. It makes us feel like, oh, people actually care about me, right? So, how are you doing? Are you showing up enough to that people are like, oh yeah, okay, because, okay, it's confession time. My wife will love this. I pay for a gym membership. Okay, as you can tell, I mean, right here, right? I pay for a gym membership, and early on, like it was, you know, 4 or 5 times a week, right? 4 or 5 times. Now that it's been a year and a half later ish, I was looking back through my workout log deal. I hit 5 times in June, 5 times in July, twice in August, once in September, once in October, out of the entire month, right? And those guys have just kind of given up asking, hey, Chris, where were you this morning? Where? I overslept. 5 a.m. is early. You know, those kind of things. But, right? But we get into the habit, we show up with people regularly. That's what community is about. Keeping tabs on each other. Not that we're like, you know, that was probably bad. What did I say? Keeping tabs on each other. Like, we get to keep each other accountable. Like, we hold each other accountable. We're in your life. We're a part of your life. True discipleship only happens when you do life on life together. So, as a part of that, have you, and then socializing, all right? We as Baptists, we love to eat. We love to fellowship, right? We don't get to do that very often. November, our Thanksgiving meal's coming up. I hope you'll join us, right? We get to tailgate at the football games that are led by life groups, right? But as a part of a life group, you get to socialize with people. We organize life groups by stage of life you're in so that you're in the room with people that you have things in common with, and that's on purpose. Now, if you don't mesh or you don't jive, you can feel free to get up and walk out. Probably not in the middle, that's probably rude, but like the next Sunday, you could go and like visit another class, right? We don't tell you where to go. All right, we're not going to say, okay, well, you're, you know, 43 years old, you're single, you go to this class, you know, or you're 57, you're married, you go to this class. All right, we're not going to do that. We'll make suggestions, and we want to help you find a place where you can connect, right, with people that are going through similar things as you, because the stages of life that you're in matter. You know, if I get a couple of youth parents together and they're like, man, my kid was da-da-da-da-da, and this other parent says, my kid did the same thing. What? I thought I was alone in that. No, brother, you're not. There's plenty. Like, you know, that's the kind of stuff that we want to do with life group. And that's why we feel it's vitally important. And that you grow when you're surrounded by people, because you get to exercise these things. So, let me ask all those same questions that I asked a while ago. Have you put off the old self? Have you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior? Because in that moment, that is when you put off the old self and you put on the new self, which is Christ and his righteousness. So when God looks at you, he sees a holy person, a righteous person. Because without that, verse 6, and I don't like verse 6, on account of these things, the wrath of God is coming. I don't want to be anywhere near the wrath of God. And so I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just giving it to you straight. If there's never been a time in your life where you've placed your faith and trust in Christ, today's the day to do that. For those of us who have, how's your walk going? Are you walking this life? Have you put away the old self and the practices that come along with that? And are you walking in the new self, the new creation? Are you allowing God to sharpen you, to strengthen you when it comes to having compassion, having kindness, having meekness, having humility, having patience, right? We always hear, hey, don't pray for patience. Don't pray for patience, right? But as we have situations to deal, to use, to have, to depend on our patience, God strengthens us through that, right? As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. It is only through the community that we have in the body of Christ that we can grow. And that's what the point of all of this is. And so if you're a Christian in the room, Are you walking like you're supposed to? Do you have people in your life that would hold you accountable to those things? Do you have those type of people in your life? And maybe some of you are in the room are feeling like, oh, life group is probably too many. We got 24 on a regular basis. I don't know if that's... Well, grab a couple of people. Make your own small group, right? If you need help, Brad and I have got some stuff that we can help you, and y'all can disciple each other in even a smaller group. That's our hope. That's our wish. That's our plan is for you to be discipled. Because Jesus didn't say, hey, go make a big church. He said, go and make disciples. And the only way that we can do that is with each other. So are there areas in the church that you need to be serving in? So that you can, as it says down in, and we're not going to get all of that because of whatever, but verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another. We're supposed to teach each other. We're supposed to admonish, right? Which kind of means correcting, kind of means encouraging, right? So, hey, I'm going to teach you this, but then I'm going to encourage you to go and do it, right? I can't, you know, Brad can't come in here next Sunday morning and say, okay, how did you do this week? And let everybody just kind of talk amongst themselves. It just doesn't work. But we can do that in life group, and we can do that in small groups. So how are you doing? I pray that you feel connected to First Baptist, that you feel like you belong here when you walk through the doors. My hope and goal for our students is every time they come into this building, they feel loved and cared for. That's why I give them a handshake, a high five, a hug, or whatever it takes. Because so many of them don't get that anywhere else. And I pray that you get that every time you walk in too. So, have you placed your faith and trust in Christ? And if you have, how are you doing? How are you walking? Let's pray. Joel, I just want to thank you, God, so much for who you are, God, and how much you love us. God, that you sent your son to die on the cross for us. So, God, that we could put off the old self with its practices. God, that we could wipe those out of our lives. But, God, so much more than that, we could walk with you. God, with kindness, with compassion, with humility, with meekness, with patience. God, that we could forgive each other, that we could endure each other. God, so I just pray that as we come to this time of invitation, God, if there's someone in here that you've been speaking to this morning, God, I pray that you give him the boldness to come down front, grab Brad or I by the hand, and just talk to us. Because, God, we want more than anything for their walk with you to be closer than it was a day ago, a year ago, a week ago. So, God, I just pray that you use this time right now as we come to you. In Jesus' name, amen.